Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Well, we praise and thank you, Lord, on this second Sunday of Advent. We know many things are happening in the world today and throughout America, but we take this time to worship you, to kneel at your throne of grace, Lord, knowing that with your help, all things are possible. We thank you, Lord, that it's a challenging time for many, for those that have suffered the loss of loved ones, for those that are trying to stay out of the whirlwind of the season and just simply have the peace and the joy that these songs that we have sung talk about. And we thank you that we can trust you in ways that no one else could be trusted. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as we look at the Word of God today. We thank you for teaching us the things we know. And we thank you, Lord, for continuing to keep us filled with the special anointing so we can be your hands extended to others. We thank you, as always, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, there obviously are many things that we can discuss on the second Sunday of Advent season. We can talk about all the problems that are in the world and all the difficulties that people are facing and so forth. But at the same time, I think more importantly that we discuss some of the things that we are thankful for and the miraculous things that do happen. And of course, this has been an interesting week with people with different illnesses and some people that have passed away or people that are just a thread away from passing away. But all that aside, I want to read a story. It's a beautiful old story, actually. Don't know that I've necessarily read it before in public. I've read it numerous times, but I hope that our congregation and listeners will appreciate it. The brand new pastor and his wife, newly assigned to their first ministry, to reopen a church in suburban Brooklyn, arrived in early October, excited about their opportunities. When they saw their church, it was very run down and needed much work. They set a goal to have everything done in time to have the first service on Christmas Eve. They worked hard, repairing pews, plastering walls, painting, etc., and on December 18th, were ahead of schedule and just about finished. On December 19th, a terrible tempest, a driving rainstorm, hit the area and lasted for 2 days. On the 21st, the pastor went over to the church. His heart sank when he saw that the roof had leaked, causing a large area of plaster about 20 feet by 8 feet to fall off the front wall of the sanctuary just behind the pulpit, beginning about head high. The pastor cleaned up the mess on the floor, and not knowing what else to do but postpone the Christmas Eve service, he headed home. On the way, he noticed that a local business was having a flea market type sale for charity, so he stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful handmade ivory-colored crocheted tablecloth with exquisite work, fine colors, and a cross embroidered right in the center. It was just the right size to cover the hole in the front wall. He bought it and headed back to the church. By this time, it had started to snow. An older woman running from the opposite direction was trying to catch the bus. She missed it. The pastor invited her to wait in the warm church for the next bus 45 minutes later. She sat in a pew and paid no attention to the pastor while he got a ladder, hangers, etc., to put up the tablecloth as a wall tapestry. The pastor could hardly believe how beautiful it looked, and it covered the entire problem area. Then he noticed the woman walking down the center aisle. Her face was like a sheet. "Pastor," she asked, "where did you get that tablecloth?" The pastor explained. The woman asked him to check the lower right corner to see if the initials EBG were crocheted into it there. They were. These were the initials of the woman, and she had made that tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it was as the pastor told how he had just gotten this tablecloth. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. When the Nazis came, she was forced to leave. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. He was captured, sent to prison, and she never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she made the pastor keep it for the church. The pastor insisted on driving her home. That was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island and was only in Brooklyn for the day for a house cleaning job. What a wonderful service they had on Christmas Eve. The church was almost full. The music and the spirit were great. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife greeted everyone at the door, and many said that they would return. One older man, whom the pastor recognized from the neighborhood, continued to sit in one of the pews and stare, and the pastor wondered why he wasn't leaving. The man asked him where he got the tablecloth on the front wall, because it was identical to the one that his wife had made years ago when they lived in Austria before the war. And how could there be two tablecloths so much alike? So he told the pastor how the Nazis came, how he forced his wife to flee for safety, and he was supposed to follow her, but he was arrested and put in prison. He never saw his wife or his home again in all the 35 years in between. The pastor asked him if he'd allow him to take him for a little ride. So they drove to Staten Island and to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman 3 days earlier. He helped the man climb the three flights of stairs to the woman's apartment, knocked on the door, and he saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. True story. Who says God does not work in mysterious ways? His love is always with you. His promises are true. And when we give him all our cares, we know he will see us through. So when the road you're traveling seems difficult at best, just remember, I'm here praying and God will do the rest. I would like to share today, I don't think we'd ever go through the Advent season without sharing some portions of Scripture in the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at two particular chapters there. Always worth looking at, not only at Advent season or as we celebrate the birth of Christ or celebrate the Nativity. It's good to look at these scriptures at other times of the year too. And I will elaborate a little bit more on why that would be, particularly because I believe that there's a great encouragement and to me personally, and I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but to me personally, the wonderful encouragement of the Advent season, the wonderful encouragement about the resurrection time, for example, as we celebrate resurrection season, or what some people call Easter and use these other terms. They're worth looking at other times in the year because the Lord has included these things in Scripture for us to be encouraged by. So, looking first at Isaiah chapter 9, we'll begin with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to read from the Geneva translation of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 at verse 1. Yet the darkness shall not be according to the affliction that it had when at the first he touched lightly the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, nor afterward when he was more grievous by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that have dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased their joy, and not increased their joy. They have rejoiced before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide a spoil. For the yoke of their burden, and the staff of their shoulder, and the rod of their oppressor, hast thou broken, as in the day of Midian. Surely every battle of the warrior is with noise, and with tumbling of garments and blood. But this shall be with burning and devouring of fire. And pay particularly close attention as we are at verse 6 here of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and he shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace shall have none end. He shall sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth evermore. The zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, when we look at that passage of Scripture, I hope you find it as encouraging as I do, because I think that it brings to mind a theme, though we may not fully understand all aspects of it. It is a prophecy, and of course a prophecy of a few thousand years ago, that did come to pass there in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born in a manger and so forth and so on. The encouragement to me, of course, is that for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and he shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace shall have none end. He shall sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth evermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we've just come through an election cycle here in America, both in the states and in the nation. And we think about, a lot of attention was put towards government and hoping that the new president and the new governors and the new senators and the new congressmen and the new different leaders in all branches of government would be able to bring something better to it. And that's a possibility. But see, when we read these verses of Scripture, we know that, first of all, they're there because they're true, though we may not fully understand the extent of them. To me, that the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of order. It's established with judgment and with justice. And most of us, I think, these days are longing for justice and judgment, or judgment and justice. I prayed that before the election this year. Lord, we need justice. And of course, recognizing that that justice could really only come through Jesus, because men are not often just unless they have to be. And of course, how should these things come upon us, and how should they come to be? Who has the power to have this happen? I mean, we have a certain amount of energy, and I recognize for myself in my life a minimal amount of energy, really. I mean, maybe more so than some people, but still not the energy that's necessary to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished, the changes that need to be made. And many of us are frustrated in that, wanting to see changes and even willing to do what we can to see change come, and recognize we just don't have the strength. We just don't have the energy to accomplish these things. Well, not to worry. One of the things that we remember, or we need to remember, that we're reminded, and unfortunately, most people don't even look at these scriptures except once a year during that time that we call Christmas time, or the Advent season, or the celebration of the Nativity. Many different Christian traditions have different names for this season. But the thing we need to pick from here is the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But the government's not on my shoulders, the government's on his shoulders. Government's not on your shoulders, it's on his shoulders. The government's not on Donald Trump's shoulders, the government is on the Lord Jesus Christ's shoulder. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it kind of begs, in a sense, a theme, if you will, and I like to put themes on things that people remember. What we have read here, this is a plan. And you know how most of you that know me well enough know that I like to plan my work and work my plan. Well, this is a plan. And whose plan will you follow? Everybody's following somebody's plan. And who will you follow? Will you follow the person whose plan is the one that will bring about judgment and justice, whose plan is supplied with the energy to make sure the plan comes through because of the zeal of the Lord of the hosts, or the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, will accomplish this? Now, in saying that, it's not an if. We're not even told here that if we believe this, it's going to happen. Many times we're told, well, you have to believe something if it's going to happen. This is very emphatic. This is what's going to happen. This is the plan, the master plan, the master's plan that continues on whether we believe that it's going to or it doesn't. Now, we may put our belief in certain people. We'll say right now, before Donald Trump is even sworn into office or inaugurated, we're putting trust in him, or the new governor of New Hampshire, and we're putting trust in him and so forth. Maybe within 100 days of being sworn in, we no longer trust them anymore because they haven't kept their word. They haven't seemed to accumulate the power structure that they need to do these things. So we've lost hope in them. But whether we believe that there is a plan, a master plan or not, there is a master plan. And the Lord will bring it to pass. It's his plan. The question is, whose plan will you follow? Whose plan am I following? And who will you follow? Are you going to follow just a government leader? You know, you're going to follow the United Nations? You're going to follow America? And people are asking these questions all over. And so we're looking in the sense of reading the predictions and when we read these predictions, if you will, if you read this master plan, that should increase our faith. Let's look at chapter 11 in Isaiah. Some verses there, beginning at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And I do want to encourage you that this is not just something to read now. This is something from time to time when you think that things have gone off course and nobody's in charge and the inmates are running the asylum, so to speak, that you can look and see that there is a master plan and that your belief or my belief and my energy or your energy is not what is powering that master plan. It's the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. It will happen. It is happening. Not only will it happen, and of course when we have just read through those scriptures in Isaiah 9, those things as far as the birth of Jesus, that's already happened. We're celebrating here, we are 2,000 years later, celebrating that part of the master plan that's already happened. Isaiah chapter 11. But there shall come a rod forth of the stock of Jesse, and a grass shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him prudent in the fear of the Lord, for he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and with equity shall he reprove for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he slay the wicked, and justice shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness in the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fat beast together, and a little child shall lead them. I'm just going to stop there. You might want to continue reading on in that chapter at a later time. But once again, reminding you there is a plan, the master plan, if you will, or the master's plan. That's probably a better way to say it, the master's plan. Whose plan will you follow? Everybody's following somebody's plan. Just the same as when you build a house, nobody builds a house without a drawing or a plan. If somebody starts a business and they go to get a business loan, you have to have a business plan. Whatever that we're doing, we have to have a plan. And the question is, if we're following the wrong plan and following the wrong planner, then the plan is not going to work out very well. Or if it's a poor plan, it's not a good plan. It's not a good business plan, the business will fail. It's not a good plan for the house, then the house is going to have problems. Or community plan, these things will fail. But there is a master's plan that the Lord has set out, and he has promised these things. And of course, once again, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord has used him to bring prophecy, saying, okay, these are the steps that are going along with the plan. This is what's happening. And of course, if we look at verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You know, I couldn't help but to want to see that attitude, behavior, anointing on our leaders. And as we look at Romans 13, as we've often done, and think, wouldn't it be wonderful if the leaders are expecting us to follow them in government, in business, in school, whatever else, had this anointing? And most of the time they don't even have a fraction of this anointing. But the Master, Jesus, we expect to follow, who we are following, and I hope and pray that everyone listening to this, you recognize if you're not following the Master, you're going to end up in the pit. If you're not following the master plan, you're going to get off track. Because in that master plan, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him prudent in the fear of the Lord, for he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove by the hearing of his ears. Many people, of course, make their decisions who they're going to follow by what they've heard that person say or what they've seen that person do. And many times what's happened to them is it's been an empty rhetoric, or we've seen a photo op that makes it look like that person, oh yes, going to follow that person, they seem to know what they're doing. But our eyes and our ears can deceive us. But you can be sure that in following the Lord, that's a heart change. And so one of the great things that we receive at the Advent season is that heart change of saying, okay, no matter what we hear, no matter what we see, we're going to trust in the Lord, first and foremost, follow his plan. And who will we follow? We'll follow Jesus. And who will you follow? I pray that you will follow Jesus. And recognizing as we go through these predictions, if you will, these prophecies, why does the Lord establish these things for us? And year by year we go through the hassles, it seems, to do this. Because he wants to encourage our faith, saying, fear not, little flock, trust me. I know it doesn't look so good right now, but don't pay attention so much to what you see. I know it doesn't sound very good right now, but don't pay so much attention to what you're hearing. Listen to me, follow me. If you have to close your eyes to the things of the world, if you have to close your ears to the things of the world, then let me speak to you. Well, it's part of the great plan, the master's plan, that the Lord is showing us. And right now, of course, we call the remnant church worldwide of people that are saying, you know what, I'm turning this TV set off. I'm turning off the news broadcasts. I'm not going to read the newspaper. I'm going to read Scripture. I'm going to see the master plan and recognize that that plan is on track. It's on course no matter what's going on, because it doesn't depend on people's belief. You know how fickle people can be. 1 minute, you know, they're your friend, and the next minute they're ready to stab you in the back. And so the plan, the master's plan, is not dependent on what people believe about Jesus. It's not dependent on what people believe about there even being a plan. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's happening. It's not just that it's happened. The birth of Jesus obviously has happened. The death and the crucifixion of Jesus has already happened. The resurrection of Jesus has already happened. All these things are part of the master plan. All these things are part of the master's plan. The ascension of Jesus into heaven has already happened. But there are many parts of the master's plan that we have been told about as prophecy, as predictions, that have not yet taken place. But the good news for us, beloved, is that it's not by our belief, it's not by our strength, it's not by our anointing, it's not about our availability. The master's plan, the energy to accomplish it, is supplied by the master himself. Just the same as the architect does not supply the energy to build a house. A house is not built by the architect. That's just a plan. But the good news of the architect of this universe, the architect of this world, not only has made the plan, the master's plan for it, but supplies the energy to bring it to pass. And so when we think about this Advent season, here we are, the second Sunday in Advent, there's a lot of reasons to worship the Lord. A lot of reasons to stand up and say, yes, I will follow the Lord. He has a master's plan, and his plan is the best. No comparison with anyone else's plan. I will follow him. Will you follow him? Will you have your faith increased by reading these scriptures? And we have more in the next 2 Sundays during the Advent season. We'll be looking at some other scriptures that are, in my estimation, tremendously encouraging too. For those people that say they're just too busy to stop and celebrate the birth of Christ, or all the things that we discussed like last week, of people saying, well, you know, Christmas tree or no Christmas tree, or call it Christmas or don't call it Christmas, or presents or no presents, or lights or no lights, or any of these other things. In my estimation, that's just the work of the enemy to keep us from concentrating on what the Lord wants us to see here, so our faith will be increased. Yes, there is a master's plan, and it's on course. It's on track. Nobody had to vote Jesus in, and nobody can vote Jesus out. The throne is his. And with him comes judgment and justice. Oh, there's in the world, there's plenty of judgment going on, but not a whole lot of justice. And judgment is never full and true, except that there be justice. Justice for all, whether they be poor or rich, justice for all, whether they be totally healthy or whether they be sick or whatever else. And certainly each year, as we celebrate the Nativity and the birth of Christ, as we recognize the Master's plan, each and every year, we need to remember we're another year closer to the accomplishment of the Master's plan. One more year close to that happening. And the Lord is not dragging his feet the way a man would. The Lord is not dissuaded as a man would be because of what he's seen or what he's heard. And I certainly confess as a man that sometimes I see things and hear things that are discouraging and make me throw my hands up and say, well, what's the use? Nothing I can do about it. And that might be true in a lot of things. Just the same as we know there's a scripture that I've often cited, be at peace with all men, as much as it's within your power to do. But some things are not within our power to do. But when it comes to the Master's plan, it doesn't get powered by human intervention. The Master's plan is powered by the Lord himself. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Not might perform this, shall. When you read the word shall or will in Scripture, consider that a done deal. Just waiting for the fulfillment. But it's a done deal. A contract that can't be broken. We thank you, Lord, for encouraging our hearts as only you can do, encouraging our trust and our faith as only you can do. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There are many things we have not seen that we do not know about. But we are so encouraged as we read these scriptures today in Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 11 to know that you are the one, in Isaiah 9, you are the one that will accomplish these things that need to be accomplished. That doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing. It doesn't mean we sit back and be lazy or slothful. It just means we can be confident that the following that we do for you is never in vain. It's always productive. We are thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to wish a Merry Christmas to people and give us the opportunity in this season to explain why we can say it's a Merry Christmas. No matter what's going on in the world, it's a Merry Christmas because we're one year closer to you coming again. And when you come again, you will set all things in order. We thank you for that. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.